Let's speak prophetically here for a moment. You ought not to leave here the way you came, as far as expectation. You came believing what we've advertised. And the reason you came is because the Holy Spirit was bearing witness with you. This is for you. The main thing that's going to get changed in this 12 weeks, or any part of it that you're active, is your expectation. Because you already have everything that's requisite for the power of God. I don't think we're going to add anything to you that you don't already have unless you're not born again. And if you're not born again, I want to remind you, it's real simple. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I know from personal experience, everybody ought to be that's in here ought to be born again. And I know personally that most of you are born again believers and ambassadors of Jesus. So you're good to go. You're good to flow. We had a testimony where God can just show up and do what he wants to when you just give him a little bit of room. From a young man, a friend of ours and a friend of Gary and Opal's, Sunday night, a guy named Josh that had been with us a few years ago just for short seasons, basically through their influence and their invitation. A week ago on Wednesday, that's right, a week ago Wednesday night, sitting around the table with about 18 of us back in the back dining room, he had shared a comment about that tongues is good, but it ain't for everybody, at least according to his understanding. Well, we, I think, in a fairly gentle way, just kind of challenged and put that in proper perspective on how those scriptures that he was referring to were actually used about public ministry, not private devotional use. And then he shared this Wednesday, he got woke up by the Holy Ghost grunting. Grunting with the sound and these words that were not common to him. So he basically said he ain't sure he did pray in tongues, but he ain't sure that he didn't pray in tongues. But that, and in the way he presented that, and he definitely recognized that it was because Rick had ministered to him on that Wednesday night back in the back dining room. And then he also testified, Rick also prayed, and we agreed for a job for him. He testified Wednesday night he had, was in the process of being hired. Yes. So he was, in fact, he was so fired up, he brought their son with him. Hallelujah. So Justin was part of the fellowship Wednesday night. Now, that may not be impressive to you, but that's God changing people. And that's what the miraculous is. God changing people and suspending the laws of nature to get people ministered to. You know, by definition, a miracle is the suspension of the laws of nature and divine intervention. I was reminded through application again Wednesday, you don't got to put up with circumstances the way circumstances happen. And what I'm referring to is I literally experienced a physical change in my body through Wednesday afternoon with an infirmity or an affliction that was just trying to get on me that I refused to put up with and kept speaking to it and kept soaking in the presence of the Lord. And by the time it was time for midweek wing night fellowship Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, I was free from the affliction. That's happened more times than I can even keep track of. And I just want to remind you of this too. Last year, within a 3-month period, I had 2 pickup trucks totaled with me inside of them both times, including a truck flipping down off the back of the hill off my driveway and me flopping around like tossed salad because I had just popped my seatbelt off a split second before the truck rolled because I was hoping I could jump out of the truck before it went over the edge of the hill. But the truck slipped quicker than I could get my door open, and I went flopping around three complete rolls that I know of and stuff flying all over the inside cab of the truck. And I had to crawl out of the back of my pickup truck, and it was total. And I crawled out of the back of the pickup truck, basically crawled and staggered up my driveway. Sandy was off at a conference out of town and out of state. Judah was the only one that had been living at home at that particular time, and he was working that night on a late shift out at No Idea over in Marietta as a server. And anyway, to just wrap that particular story up shortly, laying in the presence of the Lord that night, 90 to 95% of the damage that was done to my body was gone by next morning. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you that. That is truth. 3 months later, with a replacement pickup that was a little Mazda pickup identical to the Ranger, I had a full-size pickup truck smash into me coming around a sharp bend out on my road a mile up from the house, slammed into me, totaled the truck, and gave me a case of whiplash that at least in my memories I can still shudder from, that it hurt so bad. By 8 o'clock the next morning, I was out doing yard work. God had done it again, and all I did was spend that night laying in the presence of the Lord, not trying to work up healing, just yielding to it. I know in what I'm referring to. I know in whom I have believed. And that whiplash did a number on me where they even called for an ambulance to come out to the crash site, and they wanted to haul me to the hospital to begin a series of tests. And the Holy Spirit said, you know in whom you believe. And I didn't go to the hospital. And there again, the truck was wiped out, total. There's the grace of God. And then again Wednesday, something's much smaller, but there was an affliction that was affecting my nervous system. It was gone within about a 3-hour period. Okay? God's true. That's right. Whose report are you going to believe? Now, we'll pass these back. Here's what prompted this particular series. God spoke to me one day and said, the Holy Spirit and you are miracle makers. So go make some miracles. Go make some miracles. He said it just like that, matter-of-factly. And that's God's perspective. Holy Spirit and you are miracle makers. So go make some miracles. That's what God said. Go make some miracles. Duh. How can healing not be for today when the healer is in you? If God healed in the first century of the New Testament church and doesn't heal today, then he's a respecter of persons. And the Word of God says he is no respecter of persons. If God healed the first century and doesn't heal today, then the dispensation of grace is closed up and nobody notified us. When even by definition, from Greek and Hebrew language, the word saved and salvation includes to be made whole, to be cured, to be complete. If salvation's for today, then everything that salvation defines is for today. Your life has become what it is through three basic channels. First of all, information. Typical learning, gathering information. But not all information that you've been fed is valuable, and not all information you've been fed is true. And not all information that you've been fed is from God's perspective. So the first way you have learned has been through learning, information. The second way that you have learned is by revelation, God revealing himself to you, God revealing truths to you. And sometimes you can have a revelation of something that isn't even directly related to God. I remember one time as a young kid, my mom telling me, don't put your fingers on electrical sockets. Well, wouldn't you know it? That became a law that I must violate. Yes, I took a paper clip and stuck it in the socket. All of a sudden, the awareness of electricity became much more than information. It became a powerful revelation, and I was blown across the living room floor. I had a revelation. There's electricity inside that socket. Stay away from it. Revelation is that which does not come by information, but it comes by impartation. And even with that electrical socket encounter, I had an impartation of electricity that overwhelmed me and overpowered me and changed my perspective about wanting to play around electrical sockets. That's revelation. God reveals himself to you not through information, but by he becomes real to you by revelation. He reveals himself. You know, we could all do a survey of how many times we heard some of the gospel preached, but until it was revealed and we became convicted, which means convinced of it, it didn't take hold near as much as it did when it became revealed to us. So you can learn by information. You can learn by revelation. In fact, I'm reminded of the scripture in Matthew 16 when Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And it's amazing what people think. Because some said, here's how they answered him in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? And this was probably a couple of years after he began his miracle ministry. And they said, well, some think that you're Isaiah, some think you're Jeremiah, or some think you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus' second cousin. And John the Baptist had just been beheaded in that time span, probably less than 9 months approximately before this encounter. And yet, some people thought he was a reincarnated version of his second cousin who had been beheaded in the local prison less than a year ago. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? right there, when he asked, who do men say that I am? That's the information. That was the scuttlebutt. That was the gossip mill info going around the communities. Well, he might be Isaiah the prophet. He might be Elijah the prophet. He could be John the Baptist again. That's information. And when he asked his own disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood or information did not reveal this to you, but my Father from in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, not the rock of Peter, but upon this rock of revelation and confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Now that's a powerful, miraculous declaration. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the New Testament body of Christ. And then he went on to say in the next verse, and whatever you bind on earth, whatever you prohibit on earth, must be what I have prohibited in heaven. Whatever you loose, whatever you release, whatever you permit on the earth is to be what I have released, what I have okayed, what I have permitted to take place in heaven. Now that's a powerful declaration of authority. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Heaven doesn't respond to what you do on the earth. In the earth, you're to respond what heaven has declared. That's how that's literally to be translated. Whatever you permit to take place on the earth is what takes place in heaven, or what is, you know, what has the right to take place in heaven. Let me put that in perspective. There's no disease in heaven. There's no demonic activity in heaven. There's no depression in anybody in heaven. There's no terrorism, acts of terrorism taking place in heaven. You know, speaking of acts of terrorism, we know what this weekend represents, 10 years ago this weekend. And you know, isn't it amazing and almost disheartening how much publicity has been given by the various news media as if they're expecting and demanding terroristic acts to take place in America for this weekend? That is stupid. Whatever you bind on earth is what is bound and prohibited in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth, whatever you release in the earth, is to be what is released in heaven. There's no terrorism in heaven. And the life of God in you places heaven in the earth. The life of God in Jesus brought heaven to the earth. The life of the Holy Spirit is heaven in earth. And be reminded that Jesus himself prayed, Father, may thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He declared the same principle of loosing, releasing, permitting, and duplicating the will of heaven into the earth. You have authority. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, and in the first half of that verse, that's referring to the spirits of Antichrist. You have overcome them, my little children, meaning the spirits of Antichrist, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You know, in fact, you know how some people are afraid of the dark? Well, here's a nugget for you. The dark's afraid of a bunch of people because you're the light of the world, because Jesus is the light of life. If you could hear the darkness talk, darkness would be trying to pray you away instead of you trying to pray the darkness away. All darkness, ooh, this is good. All darkness is the absence of light. That's all it is. And the darker it is, the greater a small light shines. Jason, would you be my lovely assistant over at the light switch? I want to demonstrate this point. Flip off the switch. As you're looking at it, flip off the switch on the left. Okay. Now, it's a little darker, isn't it? Why? Because one light was flipped off. There you go. Flip that one, if you will, bro. Okay. So now, it's a little dimmer over here. But your light's still shining. I can find you. Find you even the fog of God, the favor of God, the fog. I know where you're at because of the light of Jesus. All right? So though it's dimmer, might be a little harder to read over on this side and on that side than it was a moment ago, you could still make out what text you're looking at if you get it real close. Okay? Go ahead, maestro. Now you're going to have to read with night vision, huh? Or light vision. Okay, now stay there, Jason, if you will. Emphasize the point just a little further. Okay? And now, cell phone, text, light, overhead light, the flickering cloth candle light, and then the little string of lights. But if you could see with divine night vision, there'd be lights everywhere somebody's seated. There you go, Mary Frances. Okay, thank you, Jason. Look how quickly the dark disappeared. Look how quickly. As soon as the light came on, the darkness disappeared, didn't it? And the dark will stay gone in here as long as there's light shining. You are the light of the world. That doesn't just mean that you